Amen. Thank you, Carol. Beautiful, beautiful song. Isn't that wonderful? We stand forgiven at the cross. Forgiven. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I'll tell you what. That is so good. What a blessing. And I couldn't help but to notice the offertory. And actually, I heard them practice, or I saw Brittany before the service and saw the song they were going to play. And there's 2 weeks in a row, the offertory has gone very much right along with the message this morning. I love it when God does that. I really do. It's just such a blessing. And all the music today, the choir special, you know, I sing the mighty power of God. You know, God's still on his throne. And just as Carol was singing, the power of the cross, that I could stand forgiven before God. Isn't that amazing? Come on, tell your face it's okay. Amen. I stand forgiven because of the power of the cross. That is amazing. And then our passage today starts off in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isn't that true? That is so true. Well, you know, if I were God, I would, yeah, if we were God, it'd be a mess. I guarantee it'd be more of a mess than we could even imagine. And neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I know, we've got it all figured out, don't we? We know why the Dow Jones dropped, 1,000 points last week? Yeah, it didn't affect most of us here. Maybe it did some, but we got it all figured out, right? No, but he does. Amen. He does. He has it all figured out, everything going on. I look out and all over this room, you know, we're missing some folks who are in the hospital, missing some folks that aren't well. We've had a hospital week. We've had a tough week, and yet, you know, we don't have anything figured out. But he does. He knows what he's doing. I want to talk to you about that. I want to preach a message I've entitled "God's Answer to Why," because we've all said it this week several times. Why? What? How could this doesn't make sense to me? Why would? Well, God gives us an answer. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching today. I pray that you'll give us exactly what we need from your word. And for some, it's guidance. For some, it's just, I got to know what to do next. And I need you to show me, God. For others, it's comfort today. I pray that you'll bless as we use your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God's answer to why. Again, I remind you, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you looked recently at our prayer list? We have many, many, many names on our prayer list. We find ourselves looking at the prayer list, we find ourselves praying over the prayer list on Wednesday nights and as we meet, and it's like it just keeps growing longer, and the word cancer continues to show up on our prayer list, and we find ourselves asking God, why? We find ourselves just saying the word, why? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, God has told us, and he's given an answer to us asking the question, why? I mean, for you today, it could be some trial that you're going through. It could be some difficulty. It could be some situation where you just don't understand exactly what's going on, or even why it has had to happen in your life. For obviously, for many of us, it's a doctor's report. This time last week, we had no idea. In two situations, very serious situation, we had no idea this time last week. And so we find ourselves saying, okay, well, why? Why does this have to happen? Why does Jim Bailey, who's a bus captain all these years, why now? Why does he have cancer? Why does Chuck Pearson have this tumor on his brain? Why? And here's God's answer to the question, why? that I want to talk to you about. You know, so many times I've been in this situation, so many times, and we say, but it's natural to ask why. It is natural, and yet we're not supposed to be natural. We're supposed to be spiritual. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask why, but it ultimately comes down to this. We have got to trust the Lord. Ultimately, it comes down to, I sing the mighty power of God. Is God powerful or is he not powerful? If he is powerful, then he is in fact God. And we need to let him be in control. And so I just wrote down some things. Maybe you're here today and maybe you were affected by the stock market and all that took place. Maybe you are very concerned about next week. They say that mid-September it's all over. That's what they say. But, there's problems and all these different things. But God's thoughts, they're not our thoughts. God knows. And whatever he thinks, I promise you, it is right. It is what it is. I mean, it is the way it's going to be. God's ways they're not our way. Here's what I would do. And every time you hear of somebody who's sick, you think, well, I think this person ought to be sick. But I've got news for you, folks. God has it all under control. So I wrote down five things that I find in Scripture as to God's answer to why. The first thing is, I wrote down God's secret. God's secret. Look at Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. You say, why? God doesn't have any secrets. You know, God has given us an awful lot by giving us the Bible. And thank God for it. Amen? It is so wonderful. But in the Bible, He does indicate that he has some secrets. Notice what he says in Deuteronomy 29:29. This is a wonderful verse to memorize, a wonderful verse to know and to go to when the ways and the thoughts seem to be different between you and God. Because here's what he says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God says there are some things that they belong to me. There are some things that are a secret to me. They are known only to me. There are some things that I am not going to show you. There are some things God says I'm not going to reveal to you now. One day you'll know, but not now. There are some things God says that are very clearly secret things. They belong to me. The Scripture could not be more clear. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But then he says, those things which are revealed belong unto us. Well, look at all that he's revealed. Just in his word. I mean, he's given us so many things. And the proof that there are other things is the fact there are some things we just don't know. But there are some things we do know. There are some things that he's shown us. Some things that are very clear in Scripture. And since there are some, obviously, there's a whole book called the Bible of things he wants us to know, it would only stand to reason there might be some things that he doesn't want us to know. I mean, honestly, you know, by the way, some things we're better off not knowing. I mean, really, when we think about God's thoughts not being our thoughts and his ways not being our ways, we have to recognize that what a blessing that he's controlling things. What a blessing that I don't have to make those choices and those decisions. That God in heaven makes those decisions. There's some things that it's just better off not to know. I know when I first got saved, there were a whole bunch of things that I had to prepare for before God showed them to me. I didn't know that I was going to be a preacher. I didn't know that I would pastor a church. I had no idea. I that was the farthest thing from my mind when I first got saved. You know the story. I was a long-haired hippie. And going totally a different direction. Didn't go to church, didn't grow up in church, didn't know what Sunday school was. I mean, so different than most of the folks in this room. I had no idea. We didn't go to church. And when God saved me, if I would have known all that I know now, Oh my, I wasn't ready for it. There's some things that you don't know and you're better off not knowing. There's many, many things that you're better off not to know. Why? Because God has to help prepare you. I know, you know, it's very, as I think back, I think about all the funerals that I've done. So many. I've done over 40 funerals here just since I've come here, 13 years. That's a lot of funerals. But do you know that growing up, I never even went to a funeral. Never grew up. Our family wasn't very big. I don't remember any funerals. Didn't have any idea. God had to prepare me. My first funeral I did was one that some pastors don't do for years. My first funeral, 20-year-old sister-in-law who died of cancer, but got saved and got baptized before she died. Praise the Lord. But again, you know, there's some things, you know, we just couldn't handle if we knew all the things. You say, well, I want to know when the rapture's. No, you don't. You don't need to know. God's in control of all those things. It's a secret, and it is one of the secrets. He says, that day and that hour, no man knows. The angels don't even know. Amen. Amen. He's coming. Well, you say, it looks bad. It's tough out there, and things are rough. But God has a secret. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be out of here. If you're saved. If you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. But that's a whole other message. You know, sometimes God has to prepare us for each thing that He's going to show us, each secret thing that He's going to show us. I had no idea of God's comfort. I didn't know God could comfort. I didn't know God could help. If you'd have told me that I could stand up and preach the sermon for my parents' funerals, I'd have said, there is no way I could ever do that. But God shows us things. And certainly, when I first got saved, all that was a secret. But He's revealed things to me along the way. And now, you know, He continues to reveal things along the way. But so many things there, I don't understand. I've talked to you. I'm like you. I've said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand these two men that I love dearly and are loved so dearly in our church. I don't understand them going through this thing. And yet we have all sat here before. We have heard the announcements before. So-and-so's visitation, so-and-so's funeral. We've heard announcements before. Such and such was in a wreck. We've heard the announcements before. So-and-so went to the doctor. And we've all sat, we've all heard those. And we've recognized that in the long run, God is the one that's in control of the whole situation. And the whys are all a, there's part of the secret thing that God knows. I'm thinking of one of my deacons years ago, who came to me and said to me, Pastor said I went to the doctor and the doctor says I have cancer and would you please pray for me at the altar tonight after the service and anoint me with oil. And I did, and I prayed. And we didn't know. I mean, certainly I could have spent the whole afternoon griping and complaining to God. He could have spent several days griping and complaining to God. And instead, we had no idea why he would have that. But you know, when he got up from the altar, he went back to his home and went to the doctor later on in the week, and the doctor said it was gone. Now, you know, you say, boy, you should have put that on TV. It isn't for TV. It was for him. It was for God to get the glory. Now, but I've watched God do that before. But we've also had many funerals here. You have to understand, that was a secret thing that God in His thoughts, God in His ways, that had to happen just like it happened. For whatever reason. Still don't know. One of these days, I'm going to know. But the secret thing, do not forget the secret things. As you're dealing with, I don't understand this, I don't get this, as you're dealing with whatever that trial is in your life, remember this, the secret things, God's secret, it belongs to Him. And He's God. It's kind of like when you were a child and your parents say, it's around Christmas or birthday and they hide the gifts. Of course, we always found ours. How many of you always found your gifts? Yeah, see. Why were you looking? pitiful. But anyway, but you know, they're allowed to, parents are allowed to have secrets, right? You parents, aren't you allowed to have some things your kids don't know? Yeah, even more so than that, God has some secret things that only He knows. His thoughts, our thoughts, they're not the same. That's because He knows more than we do. God's secret. Number two is God's satisfaction. Boy, we're so quick to forget this. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. All the way in the New Testament toward the back. Hebrews chapter 11. The chapter about faith. The hall of faith, some call it. And tucked away here is a wonderful truth. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, and again, I'm talking about God's satisfaction. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Isn't it amazing how we will search for something we can do for God? How can I please God? I think of our kids, and when our kids were young, how they would they would want to please their dad, they would want to please their mom. Sometimes it was a matter of going around and picking dandelions. You know, how many of you moms have received a bouquet of dandelions? Isn't that wonderful? Till you realize they're weeds. But anyway, to that child, that is, look what I have. Or they've maybe gone into your garden and those precious petunias that you have, they pick those. And anyway, you understand what I'm saying. But they just want to please you. They're just trying to, if I could just please my mom and dad. And I wonder how many times we as Christians say, I just want to please God. And what could I do? What possibly can I do in my life to please Him? And we're looking for something. And the Bible says so clearly, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And next time you're in the midst of a trial, maybe even today, maybe you stop and think, wait a minute, I want to please God, but I don't understand this. I don't get it. I don't know why this has to happen. Here's your opportunity to please God. What? What do you mean? Faith. Yeah. God's satisfaction. What if everything, your trial, your problem, our church, some of the things that we face, what if God, because God knows things we don't know, God thinks things we don't think, God does things we don't do, what if He's just waiting to see what you'll do? You going to trust Him? You going to trust Him? Oh, yeah, but I had all my money in some stock and now it's dropped. But it didn't shake heaven at all. It may have messed up the Dow, but it didn't mess up the heaven. Well, yeah, but I just don't get it. Maybe you're not supposed to get it. Maybe you're supposed to trust Him. I've watched folks over the years. I'm going to tell you, Bible college for my wife and if there were many, many things we learned, and I understand, learning how to not have dangling participles and not split your infinitives and all that's important, and I'm not pushing it aside. But I'm going to tell you the one thing that probably was the most important thing we learned at Bible college, and that is to trust God. Just trust, just have faith. And wait a minute, that faith, that one thing right there, it pleases Him as much as anything I could do. I got A's. I made the dean's list one time. Aren't you impressed? You should be impressed. And we were out, and I've got a picture somewhere in one of my, remember scrapbooks? Yeah, I know, you're supposed to put everything on the computer. Well, we still have the old paper scrapbooks. We always will. My wife will never get rid of those. I promise you, it will not happen. So we have that scrapbook, and there's that picture of Dean Mullinex. At that time, he was the dean, and we're shaking hands, and I made the dean's list. The wind's blowing. His hair is perfectly straight, just like it always is, like a glued-down helmet, and mine is blowing everywhere, and most of it blew out. But there I was getting, and you know what? What an amazing thing. I think God liked that. I think that was a good thing because we're supposed to do whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I think that was a good thing. It glorified God. But I'm going to tell you something. Those days when we had no food, those days when we had no money, those days when we couldn't pay the bill, those days when we didn't know how we were going to make it through the day and we fell down on our knees and we begged God, oh God, we trust you, we believe you. That, my friend, that's what pleased him the most. And today, you know, God's satisfaction, he's wanting to see. Do you really believe? It's so easy to talk it. It's so easy to tell her, you know what, I believe, until you face that trial. Until you're able to actually testify, as the girls played, God makes no mistakes. He's never made a mistake in his life. Until you can pray, God, your will is what matters. I'm asking for my will, and throughout this week I have said, oh God, I would like to see you do this. But I yield and trust you with whatever you do. If we knew why, if you could just somehow figure out why, if you just, you know what, you'd never have to trust him. If we saw everything that's going to train, we'd never have to trust him. But there's got to be some things whereby we just say, God, I trust you. I don't know how many songs in our songbook are about trust and faith, but there should be a whole bunch of them. A whole bunch of them. You see, it pleases God. It satisfies God when we trust him. Come on, as a parent, you love it when your kids trust you. I remember the first time we had a big storm, and my kids, you know, they came rushing to the room, and it's like, well, why are you here? Because you're here. Well, you know, and I'm going to fight the tornado, right? But it does please us when they trust us. The storm at sea, Jesus said, O ye of little faith, to his disciples. They had a chance to please him, and they failed because they had little faith. They didn't drown. They weren't going to drown. But they had a chance to please. I wonder how we're doing with our opportunity to please him. Are we showing faith? I wrote down the third thing, and that is God's surprises. God's surprises. Number one is God's secret. Number two is God's satisfaction, chance to please him. Number three is God's surprises. God's surprises. Look at John 13, verse 7. Again, I remind you that God's ways, they're not our ways. God's thoughts, they're not our thoughts. John 13 and verse 7. Great, great verse. And again, just a verse tucked away that maybe helps explain some things. John 13, verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I call this God's surprises, because one of these days we will know. We will. And perhaps God would like to surprise you one of these days with what it was. You understand, heaven is going to be such a wonderful thing when we, as we're realizing all the why this happened kinds of things. I've explained before, my wife and I, on our 35th anniversary of the day we met. We still celebrate those. And anyway, we went to the place that we met, and we just marveled. We just kind of stood there and looked around at how impossible it was that we met. And we just kind of got excited about that. Now, it took 35 years to go back to the spot, and it thrilled us. And it just was such a wonderful thing. I think we even kissed. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe. She's been gone now for a week, so I'm really missing her, so I may talk about her a little bit. But 35 years it took. Can you imagine when we get to heaven, all the things God's going to show us? You know, we had this idea we're going to be up on clouds playing harps. I don't know where you get that. That's silly. You know, we're going to be shouting and praising. I know some of you are going to have to smile. Practice. You're going to have to stretch your mouth out and get those muscles working in a smile way. Because we are going to be thrilled when we find out what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Oh, I'll tell you what, I love to tell this story. Angela hates it when I tell this story, but I remember there was one of these doll things that came out when Angela was little. She was, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, something like that. And this doll thing, you know how they come out and everybody talks about it. And back in those days, we didn't have a TV. I don't know how she found out about it. I don't know what all the thing did, burped or threw up or something. I don't know what it was. But it was one of those fancy dolls that cost a fortune and everybody was getting them. Kind of like glow worms. Remember glow worms? Oh, man, what a stupid thing. Anyway, so anyway, she had to have this doll. And I mean, it was the most important thing, and it was Christmas, and she wanted this doll. So I went to the local Walmart, no doll. I went to the Toys R Us thing, no doll. I went everywhere locally to try to find, and there were none of them. And, of course, this was before the internet, I know. You know, you can't even imagine life before that. And anyway, I'm calling all over the place. Finally, I find this thing. I had to drive to another city, another town. I don't remember where I got it, but I got this doll for Christmas. She, you know, had no idea. Oh, Daddy, I got to have this doll. You know how dads are with their daughters. Daughters do no wrong, sons. Eh. But, you know, it's she had to have this thing. By the way, I'm the one that went and got the doll. You know, Brenda, honey, it's not really necessary. If it had been something for David, it would have been necessary. That's just kind of how it works. But anyway, you know, I got this thing, and I'm so pumped now. I'm ready for Christmas. Boy, I got this doll. Well, anyway, about 3 days before Christmas, we're walking in Walmart, and Angela and I are walking together, and all of a sudden she goes, oh, Daddy, there's that doll. And I'm thinking, come on, let's go. And no. There it is, the doll. And I'm thinking, all right, big deal. I've got one in the house. I've worked hard to get it. Okay, you need to be excited about this. And she said, oh, Dad, I got to have this doll. I said, honey, don't worry about it. You know, it's not a big deal because I've got the doll already there. It's probably already wrapped. It's ready to go. It's probably under the tree. I don't know. I don't remember. But Daddy, please, I got to have it. You know how that is. She said, and then she said this. I have my own money. I'm going to buy the doll. Uh-oh. Oh, man. You know, I'm devastated because I want to surprise her. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm so excited. And I said, no. And we walked out. And here she is. We're walking. Oh, man. You ever think about pouting in front of God? You know, He's got it all under control. He's got it all figured out. He just wants to surprise you because He knows what He's doing. Oh, I wonder how many times I've pouted at God when I should have just praised Him. Wonder how many times I've had a bad attitude and I've said, yeah, but God, but God, wait a minute, God, I want this. And I know. And God said, son, your thoughts aren't my thoughts, your ways aren't my ways. And it's all taken care of. And I'll show you one of these days. Because one of these days you'll know all. Yeah. God's surprises. I can't tell you. People say sometimes, Pastor, you just seem to have this under control. I don't have anything under control, but I know the one who does have it under control. And I know there's so many times. How many times? You know, those times, I think at Bible college, those times we had nothing. And we went out to our car and somebody had put bread in our back seat of our car. And I never understood that. I'm thinking at times we had nothing, and I went to my little mailbox at the college and opened it up, and there was a little envelope with money. I'm thinking of remember 8-track players? I had an 8-track player, and we didn't have any 8-tracks that were decent, but I remember going out there to my car at Faith Baptist Church in Bern and open the car door and sit down and look in that 8-track player, and there'd be a $5 bill. I don't know how many times my wife, since we've been at Berean Baptist Church, how many times she's gone down and gotten in her coat and looked in and felt in the pocket and there was money. Not always a huge amount. But it's just like, let God surprise you. Number 4 is, to me, one of the biggest reasons and one of the biggest answers to the question why. And it's God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. God says, I'm trying to tell you that my thoughts and your thoughts aren't always the same. God's trying to say, my ways and your ways are not always the same. And one of those reasons is because I've got some secrets. Another reason is I want to be satisfied by you trusting me by faith. God says, I have some surprises, but ultimately God says in Proverbs 25 and verse 2, he says it in such a way there is no way to argue. He said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It is the glory of God. God is sovereign. He is God. And it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, to know what we don't know. I'm so frustrated with a Christianity today that wants to put God in a box. He's God. He knows that which we can't even comprehend. God who has always been. God who will always be. God who created the heavens and the earth. We're so excited. Oh, look at the woman on Mars. Isn't that amazing? And we're so happy about being able to see Mars. Isn't that something? And God made Mars. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. And whenever we know what he knows, we become equal to him. I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't want to be equal to my God, because then I would no longer have a God. It is the glory of God to know more than I know. And so he doesn't reveal everything. No. We pray to the one who knows. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the one who knows. You know, he's got it all taken care of. He not only knows, he makes it happen. He sets it all into action. He makes it happen. That's who I talk to. That's who I can pray to. He not only says I can, he wants me to. He says, you have not because you ask not. He tells me that's the only reason I don't have is because I don't ask. And I pray to that one. God's sovereignty. God is in control. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. We ask why, and God says, I've got some secrets. God says, I need satisfaction. I want you to trust me. God says, I have some surprises I'm going to show you someday. And God says, I'm sovereign. For me to be your God, for me to be God, I'm going to have to know some things you don't know. And that brings me to the last thing. Number 5, and that's God's solution. Notice Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11 ties right in with Isaiah 55. In fact, I almost preached out of Romans 11. I've just been going back and forth with these passages of Scripture. Romans 11, verse 33. God's solution. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And we read that and we say, wow, that's God. But here's something we probably very, very seldom do, and probably many here have never done. And we go into verse 1 of chapter 12, because he says, I beseech you, therefore. And that therefore is there for a reason. It points us back to what he just said. And so it says, on the basis then of the depth and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, and based upon the mind of the Lord and based upon who he is, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, based on God being God, based on God having a mind that is not like our mind, based upon God being sovereign, based upon God's secrets, based upon all these things, based upon the fact that you can't counsel God, based upon the fact that God is God. He said, here's what you do. Just present your body a living sacrifice. He doesn't want you to kill yourself. He doesn't want you to, he said, I want you to be a living sacrifice. What's that mean? Die to yourself and trust him. And so, what do you do, preacher? Here's what I do. I say, God, not my will, but thine be done. That's what a living sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't have a choice. Sacrifice has no will. Go back to the story of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac, Abraham's son. Father, where's the sacrifice? And Isaac is the sacrifice. What are you going to do, Isaac? Well, I'm just going to trust. That's what I'm going to do. Can you imagine? As Abraham, his father, takes the knife to his throat, and then God intervenes, but Isaac is ready for whatever to happen. You know what? God, whatever happens, even so, thy will be done. And with all the questions of why, God has a very simple solution, and that is to present myself a living sacrifice, to yield to him. Proverbs 3 says it so well. And I close with that. Proverbs chapter 3. When it comes down to God's thoughts, and I don't get it. When it comes down to God's ways, and I don't understand. Proverbs 3 has helped so many. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That way, God, I know you have some secrets that you're not going to tell me. God, I want to please you. I want to satisfy you today by having faith. God, I'm looking forward to the surprises of heaven. Some things you're going to show me that I never, ever would have known. God, I realize you're sovereign. You're God. You're far, far greater than me. And God, I give you the solution to this. I just yield as a sacrifice. I have nothing to say. Nothing to say except thy will be done. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Whatever your problem, whatever the trial, whatever the need today, trust him. Trust him with all your heart. I guarantee he can be trusted. Let's bow our heads, please.